Hey everyone!
Hola a todos!
This is Shahaira.
And this is Stephanie, and welcome back to another episode of Cuento Crimen Podcast.
We hope you all are having a wonderful day, como siempre. Steph and I are happy because we are turning 3 years old this weekend. Woo! Well, I mean, I'm not, yes, you know, but Cuento Crimen.
Cuento Crimen. Which is crazy, 3 years. And I was actually thinking that, honestly, I think when we hit the 2 years and a half mark, I kept saying like, oh my God, we're turning three. And like, I don't know, I feel like I was saying it for so long and it's just here.
You almost forgot.
I almost forgot. She was talking about an anniversary and I thought it was like her and her partner. And then she's like, no, Steph, us.
I was like, yeah, it's our anniversary this weekend. And she's like, oh, are you guys going to do anything special? And I was like, what? I was like, no, it's our, like me and you, Cuento Crimen. She's like, oh yeah.
Yeah. And I'm usually on top of these things, you know?
Yeah, you are.
And then like, it's just funny because I've been saying it. Yeah. We're almost three, but.
Well, it's kind of like when it's your friend's birthday, you know, it's your friend's birthday, but then on the day of the actual birthday, you're like, oh man, like, yeah. You know, I do that all the time. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Mimi. Very guilty for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we planned a little like 3 year birthday celebration thing that we're doing, so we're glad
we're
that
go to the club. No,
we remembered. We're going out to a club.
I'm kidding. No, I'm over it.
Low key, same.
We'll just do cupcakes.
Yeah.
So yeah. So anyways, you know, 3 años de Cuento Crimen. It makes us really like humble and very thankful and appreciative of all the love and support that we have had consistently these 3 years, and like obviously just watching the podcast grow is very humbling. Like it's very like holy moly.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how we started and like how it's evolved. Mm-hmm. Right, even ourselves, like how much we've improved from episode one.
Oh my goodness. Don't get me started.
Yeah, right. So there's just so much, and like all the people that we've met, all the mm-hmm. people that support us and send us messages, it's like honestly the reason why we keep going.
Yeah.
And and it's like something that we do that we really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And 3 years in and we're still, I feel like we both still feel the same way about it.
Yeah, we still have that spark.
Yeah.
We're still in the honeymoon phase with our podcast, okay?
Obviously, yeah, there's like highs and lows, you know. Yeah. There's like when things are going really well and then like it gets busy, personal life and all these things. Mm-hmm. But we just push through.
Perseverance.
Yeah.
The key to a lot of things. Inconsistency. Yeah.
It's like, you know, our baby or your second baby.
Well, technically, I had the podcast before I had the baby.
That's true.
Right? Because podcast started 2020 and then Ivan was born 2022.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a gap there. So it's not me to say technically Cuento Crimen is my first baby.
Your business baby.
Business baby, yeah. But anyways, moral of the story is 3 years into this and we just want to thank you all.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the support and for coming back every week mm-hmm. and making this podcast a reality.
Yeah. Means a lot. So yeah. So let's get started on today's case. Also, just a disclaimer. Last week I had a cold. This week I still have a cold. I don't know. Maybe they're allergies. I don't know. But it doesn't hurt to talk or anything, but I can feel that my nose just sounds very ugh. So if you can hear that, I'm sorry. But okay, ahora sí, de veras. So, el caso de hoy me dejó a mí con una espina. And I was telling Steph, I was like, these episodes drive me crazy mm-hmm. porque no puedo dejar de pensar de qué le pasó a Cristina Caleca.
Cristina went missing in 2007 while she was out camping with a group of friends. And despite the endless searches, nunca fue encontrada.
I feel like missing cases are so hard because, again, like, te quedas con la espina and, like, you just start spiraling into all these theories and you're just like, what happened? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think these are harder because it's, like, I think these really stick with you because of all the possibilities mm-hmm. and your mind can, like, wander of all these theories. Mm-hmm. And so, and then with this case, like, there are, like, lots of theories and you're, like, I mean, 50-50, which yeah. one is it, you know?
Like, you want to believe one, but then you're like, oh. Like,
I know. And then it's like that one detail, but it's like, okay, but
yeah.
then does that, you know, discard this theory, mm-hmm. you know? But it's like, it's still there. It's still like a possibility.
Yeah.
So this case really leaves you to wonder.
Entonces, antes de empezar, we would like to give you all a heads up because we will be talking about sensitive topics. Antes de empezar, les queremos dar una advertencia porque vamos a estar hablando de temas sensibles.
Y también queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y a las víctimas. Okay, let's begin.
Cristina was a young Filipino-Canadian woman y ella tenía 21 años en el año que desapareció. And overall, she is just an amazing person.
Mm-hmm. Su familia had nothing but good things to say about her, as well as her friends. She was a natural-born leader. Ella trabajaba en un childcare. And she was also super involved in her church community.
La mamá de Cristina, Elizabeth, actually migrated to Canada from the Philippines in search of a better life. Y también para poder darle a Cristina una vida mejor.
And that's exactly lo que ella le dio a su hija, Cristina. En el año 2007, Cristina estaba viviendo en Cabbage Town, Toronto, y ella estaba trabajando en un summer camp que estaba conectado a St. Bernadette's Daycare.
And Cristina had actually attended George Brown College, and she graduated just a year prior, 2006, with a certificate in early childhood education. So she loved working with kids. This was definitely one of her passions. And she even had plans to head over to a teacher's college at York University, pero primero she wanted to perform missionary work in the Philippines.
Cristina tenía un corazón de oro. Like, you can just get that from her background.
Yeah.
También leímos que she was, you know, working for like 9-hour shifts at a specific, like, you know, camp.
Summer camp. Yeah.
And that to me is like very telling of who she is, because working with kids, it's like a lot of work, right? Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people don't know that. But to do it in the summer and for 9 hours.
Every day, Monday through Friday.
That is like a lot of work, and, you know, like, kudos to her. Ella siempre le ayudaba a su mamá financially. She did not mind this at all. Like, she really took pride in that, that she was able to help her mom in that way, especially knowing that her mom has done so much for her and all these sacrifices for her, beginning with, like, her moving to Canada to give her a better life. So, and I think a lot of people can relate to that feeling.
Yeah. And around the time that she had gone missing, Cristina quería participar en un youth conference que iba a tomar lugar en Montreal. Pero sadly, the trip turned out to be a little too expensive. Entonces mejor decidió no ir.
Instead, ella y unos amigos decidieron ir a acampar. And they were going to Rainbow Falls Provincial Park in northwestern Ontario. And Jahida and I aren't too familiar with this area, but it seems like it was a big park and a lot of people were attracted to it, would be visitors there, would go out hiking and camping there for all the outdoorsy people.
It kind of like gives me like Yosemite vibes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so she was going with three other friends, Faith, Joe, and Edwin, all of whom were not experienced campers. But I mean, hey, most of us aren't, right? Like, we go and we do it for fun. That doesn't stop us. And they did do some research on the area, but again, like, they weren't too familiar with it. And like we said, like, this park was enormous.
Entonces, el 5 de agosto del año 2007, Cristina y el grupo se fueron a este parque. And by the way, it was a drive for them. It was like about 14, 15 hours to get there. And so it was like a whole road trip. Y se fueron en el carro de la mamá de Cristina, which was a Honda CR-V.
And they left around 10 a.m. And, you know, because, I mean, it was a long drive and they had to stop for gas a few times. And I don't know, maybe just bathroom breaks. I mean, if you've been on a road trip, you know that, like, you never really get there
when you plan.
It's usually just kind of, you gotta roll with it. You gotta roll with the punches. Entonces, si se les hizo un poco tarde.
Originally, they had reserved a campsite, lot 72, but they relocated to a different lot, which was lot 88, porque tenía más privacidad and estaba más cerca del lake. And it was just, you know, what they envisioned.
Yeah, I think it's probably also like a nicer view, you know, like, oh, vamos para acá. And also just a note, you know, like we were saying, this park was always busy. And like we said, it was really big. It had like over or about 97 campsites. And most of them were always usually reserved. So like when they went to camping, it wasn't like it was just them. Like mm-hmm. there was a lot of people around them. Y entonces ya cuando llegaron al park, Cristina y sus amigos pasaron el resto del afternoon setting up and, you know, just relajándose y llegaron cansados de the long road trip. And so, you know, they decided to just set up and then take a nap. And they were so tired que no escucharon las alarmas que habían puesto. So ellos se quedaron dormidos ya hasta noche.
Yeah, I feel like that is a long road trip.
Yeah.
And your body is just tired from sitting down in the mm-hmm. car. And like,
and then also about something like, I don't know about you, but like when you travel or when you go on a trip, you're just generally tired.
Yes.
Like, I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everyone can agree to that. It's like you need vacation from your vacation.
Yeah.
Literally. You know? And so when they woke up, ya todo estaba oscuro. So they knew that they couldn't really go out exploring. And since it was too late, they decided to just start up a campfire grill to like eat something and just chill and hang out.
And that's what they were doing, you know? They were enjoying their time together. Ahí se estuvieron hasta como las 4 de la mañana. Y ya, you know, like they started getting tired again. They're like, all right, it's time to call it a night. Y dicen que Cristina joked about how they should all go swimming then and there. Pero que todos los demás dijeron que no, que ya era muy tarde y estaba muy oscuro, which I agree. Like, you know, we know these activities usually don't end in something well.
Yeah, it sounds very scary. Entonces, they kind of all agree that, you know, maybe they could do that another day. Y ya, mejor se fueron a dormir.
Y como a las 6:30 de la mañana, Cristina y su amigo Edwin decided to go for a jog.
And this is where, you know, the whole story takes a turn.
Yeah. So Edwin era mucho más rápido que Cristina. Like her friends and her family, you know, they all agree that she was not much of a runner and like it was not her speciality. So yes, ella corría un poco más despacio que Edwin. And so because of the speed differences, they ended up taking different routes.
Edwin took the road towards High 17 and Cristina went for another road, which went through a waterfall that was super close to the campsite that Cristina was talking about and that, you know, she wanted to go see. And that was the last time Cristina would be seen.
Cristina was wearing a maroon and purple shirt, a blue hoodie, and a size 36 black pants with white running shoes. Although we did read multiple descriptions that say that maybe she was wearing a yellow shirt. So the research we found just varied. Y Edwin dice que esa mañana Cristina estaba actuando normal. Like there was no change in her attitude or anything like that. Like she was just her regular self.
Yeah, her regular self. There was no red flags or anything mm-hmm. like that. It was just kind of like very normal, you know, any yeah. other day type of thing.
Like very casual too. Like, oh, let's just go for a jog, mm-hmm. you know? And so, yeah. So at this point, like they're both on their own basically, right? And eventually Edwin got back to the campsite and, you know, he's realizes that Cristina's not there, but it's not a big deal to him because again, él corre más rápido que Cristina. So he just assumed like, oh yeah, like, of course I was going to get here before her, you know? And so he just goes about his regular morning routine. And like, he says how he was even like looking for an axe to try to start cutting some logs up for the campfire and all that jazz. And again, like we said, like, he was just not worried. Like he didn't think it was a red flag. Like he thought Cristina was just taking her time and, you know, maybe she decided to go for an extra longer walk, enjoy the scenery. Yeah, like there was just no red flags just yet.
And I think the reason why they weren't like, you know, red flags, like, you know, already like calling everyone like she's missing was because Cristina was the type of person that, you know, would walk around and like, you know, be reflective and like stop and, you know, like just take in the scenery. And so that's why it wasn't like red flags and like they weren't panicking. They kind of just believed that she would, you know, like pop in and then join them for breakfast. So they kind of just like sat there and they kind of just, you know, stood there and hung out and they were just waiting for her.
But at some point, the waiting becomes too much. Faith, la amiga de Cristina, starts to worry, you know, ya, ya fue, like they had breakfast, she showered, and Cristina is still not back. And at this point, ya son las 10 de la mañana. And so that's when the worry starts to come in.
Mm-hmm. And then slowly 10 becomes ya las 11 de la mañana. And that's when they've had enough and they like, you know, start moving along and trying to look for her. Los amigos Joe and Edwin drove along the road to the waterfall and then searched that part of the trail. And they did say que en esa área había mucha gente. You know, these two friends did not ask around, did not, like, you know, ask for help. I mean, I think they just kind of, like, at, you know, at the core, they just felt like she was going to come back on her own.
Yeah.
So I think also like asking for help, it's like that, like, oh, like that feeling of like something's wrong, you know,
and like
I think
officially something is wrong.
And I think that would just make it a lot more real.
Yeah.
And I think at that point they were still hoping that she would just pop in and like, oh, yeah, you know, like this or that, you know?
Yeah. I was lost. Mm-hmm. And actually, like, this group of friends, before this trip, they had taken a trip and they all did get lost. So I think it might have also just been something that's kind of like normal for them. Like, oh man, like you went off trail, you kind of got lost, but now you're back. No biggie. But unfortunately, that was not the case with this incident. And as time passes by, they are more and more worried. Entonces, ya como a la 1:45 de la tarde, they leave a note for Christina at the campsite diciendo que ellos se fueron a buscarla, that they were going to come back, but, you know, just to know that they're looking for her.
And, like, that note, like, just goes to show that they just expected her to come back, you know? And so at this point, they also reached out to the park staff about Christina missing. And the staff told them that they needed to reach out to the police and report it. And so this was around como las 2 de la tarde. That's when Christina fue oficialmente declarada desaparecida.
And Elizabeth, which is Christina's mom, was informed that Christina was missing at around 4 p.m.
And so the Ontario Provincial Police Northwest Region Emergency Response Team took responsibility for the first search of Christina. And this search would be a total of 17 days. And we read that this was the longest in the region's history.
I mean, 17 days looking for someone, that's a lot if you think about it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and like it's a lot like of land that they need to cover.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 17 days sounds like a good search, but it is a big park. You have to, like, you know, consider that too.
And, you know, also, like, with the team, they had over 100 officers, firefighters, divers, and specialists unaffiliated with the police. Y aquí, en este caso, like, as we, you know, kept researching and as we'll talk about it, you'll see que aquí todos los recursos fueron disponibles. Like, they were all used.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, airplanes looking above ground, trying to see if they can get any hints. Yeah.
They had, like, submarine-like.
Mm-hmm.
Going in the body of waters that were around the region, like they were trying everything.
Cadaver dogs, like everything. Like this is what you would want if you have a loved one missing, right? Entonces, everyone was looking, everyone was hoping of finding something, right? Anything, you know, footprints, a piece of clothing, like anything that could direct them to like what's next, right? But unfortunately, cada búsqueda, everyone would come empty-handed. Sí encontraron, like, you know, some things, right? Una cosa, otra. Like, for instance, at one point, they did find a sock, and it was nearby a body of water. But there was a lack of DNA, and so no pudieron conectarlo a Christina.
And it's just, it's really sad because they literally were trying everything and anything to find Christina. They even had these air units, which me personally, I have never really heard about, or I guess I wasn't too familiar with it. But it's just, you know, it's this thing where they basically are using thermal imagery to see if there's any action or like any, I don't know, I guess like warmth or warmth, you know, the waves that they're looking for, body yeah.
Warmth.
Yeah. And I think unfortunately, it all came empty handed too. Like I think at some point they were picking up like a lot of like scavenger animals like around in one area. So they're like, oh, is there maybe like a body or algo? Pero cuando fueron allí a investigar, like they found nothing.
And la familia de Christina, you know, they wanted answers. They wanted their daughter to come back home. Entonces, se mantuvieron ahí en la área. But los investigadores le dijeron a todos que por favor ellos no fueran a buscar ellos solos porque tenían miedo de que ellos se pierdan. Or también, like, I mean, I think you can compromise evidence as well, like all the things, you know, but it is like dangerous to go out by yourself because then we have one person missing. They don't want to have more people missing. Because I think there was also some articles that said that during the investigation, there were some like people in the searches that got hurt.
Oh, yeah. I think So the day that she went missing, the weather was, you know, good conditions. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't worried. But then very randomly the next day, there was like a really bad rainstorm. Mm-hmm. And so the terrain just got really messy and muddy. So yeah, so there were some people that like twisted their ankles, mm-hmm. that slipped on the mud, and some dogs also got hurt. Mm-hmm. So, you know, investigators were just trying to eliminate as much of that as possible.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, like they described this park to be huge and like the forest area just seemed very dense. Like sometimes they said like the helicopters or like the air units weren't even able to look past the trees because that's how dense it was. So it was, yeah, it was a very tricky area to search.
Yeah, difficult like area to get in and mm-hmm. and like, yeah, which is like why they, you know, spent 17 days looking, because yeah. they, you know, had this plan and had to figure out how to change the plan. And like, you know, there's just so many different areas that they had to like cover.
Yeah.
Entonces los días pasaban y pasaban y no había noticias de Cristina. And as we said, you know, they had cadaver dogs, you know, working the area as well. But not even the dogs were able to track a scent.
Los investigadores dicen que esto es muy raro because usually, you know, the dogs have to pick something up. Like there has to be like that smell of the person being there. But in this case, they didn't. And so a lot of people were so confused. Like, so what happened to Cristina? Like, was she or was she not here? Y el 22 de agosto, el tío de Cristina, Ken West, le dijo a journalists, and we quote, "They used canine units, they've used planes, they've used submarines, they've used all sorts of different ways in order to find Cristina. And nothing, absolutely nothing works. There's no clue at all." End quote.
That's like devastating because yeah. like these are like all the methods, right? So it's like, oh, now they're using planes, like maybe we'll have something. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, now they're using submarines, maybe we'll have something. The dogs might come with something, but it's like, no, no, no. But there's like a no right after each method.
Yeah.
And it's just like, they're holding on to all this hope and then they're coming back with nothing.
Well, it's like she literally, it seems like she disappeared in thin air. Mm-hmm. There's no traces, no nothing.
And so authorities had a final search to look for Cristina, and this was on August 21st. And the authorities were telling the media that they believed that Cristina at this point was a non-responsive person y que probablemente Cristina no iba a responder, you know, when she's being called out, you know, like Cristina, like she is unresponsive. Yeah. So at this point, you know, they did say this to the media.
And it just must be like so frustrating y desesperante para la familia, you know, like de saber que that was the last search and like, officers and investigators are just like, well, now what? Like, what's the next step if we feel like we've done it all?
Well, yeah, like it's like been so many days and, mm-hmm. you know, and if she is in need of help, you know, like they are professionals, so they must like, they're assuming that she's unresponsive. And it's very like frustrating and like more so like la familia, like the worry that they feel like, oh my mm-hmm. God, my daughter is out there. And she's unresponsive. So that's like kind of tough for everyone to hear. And during this, the mom did believe that her daughter maybe was abducted and she was no longer in Rainbow Falls Provincial Park.
Which maybe could be like, you know, something to think about. Like if the dogs aren't picking up any scent, mm-hmm. if there's literally no clues of like, oh, she left her jacket here or her shoe came off, mm-hmm. nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, those, I guess, is some of the theories that we can talk about later.
The public and family were really taken by this case. And just to paint a picture, her family held a vigil for her, and it was attended by over 600 people at the Prince of Peace Catholic Church. And, you know, it didn't stop there. Like, she had multiple vigils. I think they also held another one in the park where she went missing. So it was just really, like, heartwarming to read about her community and her family and her friends just being there for each other mm-hmm. and, you know, holding it down during this horrible, horrible time for them. Y también Cristina's mom set up a website and a Facebook group, and it was being led by her aunt Karen to raise awareness about the case.
Her family was determined. They never stopped conducting searches for Cristina. They always kept pushing because they wanted her daughter home. They wanted answers to this big mystery of what happened to her.
Y también her mother financed multiple private searches of the area by fundraising through the Find Christina Calaca Group, and she was also withdrawing from her daughter's trust fund. She was honestly doing everything in her power to try to find her daughter. It was truly heartbreaking.
And that's how her case remained. They stopped the big searches because, you know, they did have all these resources and they were always coming back empty-handed. It wasn't until a few years later that there was a glimpse of hope. And it's like just to get answers, like what happened? Mm-hmm. Because they did find human remains in the park. And this was in October 2010.
And of course, you know, these remains were investigated as possibly belonging to Christina. But later, once they were examined, they were determined to be unrelated to her.
Which means this case file is back on the drawing board. They are kind of back at where they started with all these like theories about what happened to her, like how can she disappear into thin air. And so her disappearance is still under investigation by the Nipigon Division Provincial Police. And this case is still being treated as a missing persons case.
And of course, like we were saying in the beginning, there have been many theories as to qué le pudo haber pasado a Christina. And again, it's like so hard for us to also wonder and suggest our opinions because there's just so many possibilities. And you just wish you could like ask her, you know, person in person, or just like one little camera that was like following it. But unfortunately, like this is real life and mm-hmm. that doesn't happen, you know?
Yeah. And so there's a couple theories, right? And one of them is that some investigators, police officers, and even people in the public believe that she was attacked by a bear. But, you know, some people kind of like have a rebuttal because how is it that someone was attacked, but there was no evidence of this attack? And, you know, like, why isn't there ripped clothing or blood or drag marks? Like, there's, you know, these things that should be kind of like left behind, but there's nothing.
I mean, yeah. And I feel like, dependiendo en las búsquedas, but in this case, they used everything in buscaron por 17 días. I feel like you would have found a sign of a bear attack.
Yeah, like the yeah. struggle, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like, what is the likelihood of leaving no evidence behind? Like a shoe, mm-hmm. something, right? In this attack. And so another theory is that others believe that she was a victim of misnature, meaning that she wandered off and got lost and, you know, was disoriented. And that was how she went missing.
Which again could be a possibility, right? Like, a lo mejor a un punto se le hizo mucho, mm-hmm. and you become disoriented. And her family did say that she was not very good with directions, so mm-hmm. it could make sense. Pero igual también te pones a pensar, and then you think about all the searches y todo lo que hicieron. Like, I feel like her body would have been found.
Yeah, a hint, right? Mm-hmm. And like, also she, you know, got lost in the past, right? But she was yeah. with friends. Like maybe something, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's hard.
That one also had like a rebuttal. Yeah, it'd be like, what's the likelihood? You know, there is a likelihood, but what's the likelihood of yeah. that happening?
And the last theory, of course, is that what if she was kidnapped? Sometime along the investigation, her mother did believe that she was kidnapped and believed que Christina live or unalive, que ella no estaba en la área. Mm-hmm. Se la había llevado.
Yeah.
Which could explain why there is no scent of her.
Yeah, that but too.
Then again, like it's such a big park. Like I feel like someone would have seen something or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Me hace mucho to be kidnapped in early morning time and everyone's like kind of around you. Mm-hmm. But it could happen.
It could happen. Like there is a lot of people and.
Yeah.
But it is a possibility. There was one witness that said that they saw someone that looked like Christina on mm-hmm. the highway. But again, what if it was just someone that looked like her?
Yeah. Yeah, because police were never really able to confirm or deny if that mm-hmm. was Christina or not. And I feel like even the person that saw was kind of, can't mm-hmm. fully put their finger on it, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, what do y'all think? There's a couple theories. I am going to post this question on the Spotify Q&A. Let me know what y'all think, because this one does leave you like, it leaves you like, what happened? Like, I want to know so bad, like, what happened to her?
Like, what is happening in these woods? Because no sé si se acuerdan de un caso que we covered it a while ago. What was his name? Terrence?
Terrence Woods?
Yeah, que también he went missing in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what could possibly be there? Like, what is it? You know,
it's dangerous.
Yeah. It's scary.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, it's dangerous. It's very unfortunate because people, you know, like use nature to kind of disconnect and reset and like breathe the fresh air, like smell all the greens. Mm-hmm. And then like, it's a very dangerous place. So let us know what y'all think. If you aren't listening on Spotify, you can let us know at like Instagram, Twitter, and all the social media platforms.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's all that we have for this week's episode. Thank you to everyone listening. And yeah, we are turning 3 years old this weekend. So thank you so much again. And we'll see y'all next week.